Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. Enemies of the cross. Who is an enemy of the cross, my friends? Their end is destruction, Paul wrote. Their God is their belly, their appetite, Paul wrote. Their glory is in their shame, Paul wrote. Their minds are set on earthly things, Paul wrote. Do any of these describe you? A friend of mine sent me an email this week. He wanted to know if the sender was mocking Christians, and I read it and I thought to myself, no, I've seen it indeed. I have been in the middle of it in the chair myself. This person was driving her car. She was going down the road and she was driving along, and suddenly she saw, and it had been a long, hard day at work, and she was coming home and she'd been frustrated, and she was kind of unfortunately letting that frustration out and doing things she shouldn't have done. And this cop pulled up behind her and flashed the lights, and she pulled over, and the cop came up and had her get out of the car and frisked her and cuffed her and put her in the back of the patrol car and took her to the police station, and they booked her and fingerprinted her and photographed her and put her in the jail. And she sat in there for about an hour, and then the cop comes back and opens the jail door and says, ma'am, we're going to have to let you go. Well, why did you even put me in here? It's my car. You said I stole it. It's my car. And he says, yes, ma'am, I know we thought you had stolen it, but I must confess to you. I mean, the car has a wonderful bumper sticker that says, follow me to church. And it has a wonderful fish on it that says Jesus inside it. And it has a wonderful bumper sticker on it that says, praise the Lord. And yet I watched you for three blocks, yelling, cursing, sending the bird finger at people nearby, screaming your head off, shaking your fist at people. And I thought, she must have stolen the car. So I pulled you over and brought you in. And my friend said, was this a mocking email of Christians? And I thought to myself, no. And this is what I responded back. No. There are many times, my friends, when we, you and I, are enemies of the cross. There are times, my friends, we must admit, if we are honest, that we behave as though we are enemies of the cross. There are times when we behave, when we act as though we are enemies of the cross. We don't like to admit it, but if we're honest, it's true. There are times when our attention is focused on ourselves and not on Christ. There are times when our attention is focused on our own desires, our own needs, our own expectations, our own will, and not on Christ. There are times when our desire, our appetite indeed, our focus is our belly, our appetite. That's a wonderful phrase in Paul's letter to the Philippians. It speaks about that which you want, the appetite, the belly, the desire. It uses the image of food. I mean, there are times, my friends, when I will do almost anything for some lasagna. There have been times when I've been out of Texas for weeks at a time when I would do almost anything for a plate of enchiladas. The appetite, the belly, the desire for a taste and for food is a powerful urge. And that powerful urge to have your own way and to do your own thing is what it's speaking about here today, my friends. Frequently, we become enemies of the cross when we desire our own will and not the will of God. And yet we do it in the face of the remarkable truth of what happened at Golgotha, of what happened to Jesus on the skull, the place just outside Jerusalem where they crucified him. We do it in the face of the wonderful, incredible, glorious, truthful message of the cross of Jesus Christ. My friends, the message that we hear today from Isaiah 53. So I invite you, if you wish, if you have a Bible, to turn there to Isaiah 53. It begins with a wonderful question. Who has believed what we have heard? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Wow. That's a good question. Who has believed our report? Who has believed the message? Who has believed the story about Jesus? My friends, we live in a world that doesn't want to hear about the message. Look at the opposition to the movie The Passion. Look at the opposition. Look at the way in which the dominant culture, the dominant media treated the movie before it even came out. They had judged it, branded it, and told people, don't go see it. Look at the lines of people trying to get in. Mom and Dad and I went to see it last Sunday night. We stood there for 2 hours. The line snaked through the theater. And there were so many people, they started looping the line back around, and they were adding yet another showing after the 10 o'clock showing, to ensure that the people who were there would be able to see the movie, over half a week after it had been released. It's still a draw for many who wish to hear and see and know and experience for themselves in this visual medium the cross, the suffering and death of Jesus. And it's interesting, I think, to note how quiet the culture and the media has started to become as more and more people have seen it and have voiced their opinion that the movie does not match up to this negative point of view that was presented before. My friends, the world opposes the cross of Jesus Christ. To Jews, it's a stumbling block. Horrible. Horrible problem. Particularly when you consider who Jesus is proclaimed to be. The Messiah. And Messiahs, my friends, do not die. They win. They are victorious. They defeat the Roman Empire, the powers and forces of darkness. They set up the kingdom of David here on this world. They do not go to the cross. They are not executed by the powers and forces of darkness. They defeat them. And to the Jews, looking at the cross and Jesus on the cross, it was total, utter, complete bafflement. How could this possibly be the Messiah? He trusted in God. Let God deliver him if he delights in him, they said. And since Jesus stayed on the cross and died, they assumed, well, he wasn't the Messiah. My friends, it was a stumbling block so much so to the Jews that it is not a surprise, if you look at it that way, that they do not see in Isaiah 53 Jesus. They see themselves in the opposition and the oppression that the Jews have gone through for centuries and for thousands of years. They see themselves as the suffering servant, not Jesus. But if they were to read it as the apostles read it, as the disciples read it, as we read it, the reality of the identity of Jesus as the suffering servant comes through. Let's keep going. Let's look in a little deeper. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We've gone astray, my friends. We're a bunch of sheep wandering around in the fields, wandering away from our shepherd, God, leading our fellow sheep astray in this world. We have led each other astray. And still, God came in the form of Jesus of Nazareth and died on the cross for you and me. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, the sins of us all. And he did this to bring us back. And even in the face of this wonderful message, people are still enemies of the cross. Even in the face of the pain and agony of the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins, still people are enemies of the cross. Why? I wish I had a good answer to that question. There are times when I wish, I pray, and I ask, Lord, why are people to this day refusing to hear and know that Jesus loved them so much that he died for them? Why don't more people hear the gospel message? Why don't more people hear and receive and accept and live by faith, trusting in the cross and in the blood of Jesus? Why don't more people hear this good news for us? Is it because it's foolishness? Is it because it's a stumbling block to believe in a Savior who dies? For some, that's true. But for others, I believe it is because their appetite, their focus, their desire is for their own will. There are many, my friends, who don't want to give up self-control, and they become an enemy of the cross. What about you? Are you depending upon yourself? Are you leaning on the crutch of your own life and your own abilities and your own desires? Are you doing what seems best to you without regard for the gospel, without regard for Scripture, without regard for what God has to say? Are you doing what seems best to you? Is your God your appetite? Or are you turning it over to Jesus who died to bring us back? Look at Isaiah 53 again. There are two elements here. He was wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his stripes, by his scourging, by his bruises, we are healed. There are two elements, two facets here to what Jesus experienced both before and on the cross. Firstly, on the cross, he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. First element here is that Jesus died for our sins. It's as simple as that. He was executed, died in our place for our sins. That's the part we hear about more often than not. Indeed, in Holy Communion, which we will be receiving today, we have the juice, the wine, the grape juice, which is not just symbolic of the gift of forgiveness that comes from the blood shed on the cross, but is indeed a focus of faith through which we can touch the cross and touch the blood and become into contact again with the real presence of Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. In other words, the grape juice, the wine, is a point of contact with the sacrifice on the cross that pays for our sins. Through it, we reach back in time to the cross of Jesus. But there's also bread. There's also bread. Isaiah finishes the line here, "And by his stripes, his scourging, his bruises, we are healed." It's not just spiritual forgiveness. It's not just the forgiveness of sins that we have on the cross. It's not just the forgiveness of every sin we have ever committed that we have on the cross. It is also, my friends, in the bread symbolized and actualized, we have his flesh, which was bruised, striped, whipped, beaten, scourged. And it becomes a point of faith, a focus of faith, a point of contact for touching that presence of Jesus, which can heal us physically, emotionally, and spiritually too. By his stripes, we are healed. Peter, looking back in time, in one of his letters, writes, "By his stripes, I was healed." I never forget sitting watching the movie as they whip him. And as I watched them whip him, I realized that instance of whipping reflected him taking upon himself every sickness that everybody has ever committed. And I was in the intellectual mode at that time. This was the third time I saw it. I was in intellectual mode at that time, taking notes, listening to the language that was being spoken, taking notes and all. And as they're whipping him, I was thinking to myself, what a powerful, wondrous illustration of how our illnesses were placed on him. And then the whip struck his leg, right where mine hurts, right where the clot was in my leg back in 2001, almost 3 years ago. And in that moment, I went from intellectual mode, taking notes for an article I was going to write on it, to crying again. In realizing that, yes, my sins are on the cross. Yes, the sicknesses of all the world are on the cross. Yes, the sins of the entire world are on the cross. But in that moment, I was reminded yet again that my illnesses are on him. The good news for us, Lord, my friends, is that the Lord died for our sins. He accepted it onto himself, every sin we have ever committed, and every illness we will ever have. If you're sick today, my friends, Jesus took it onto himself. If you can't hear, Jesus took it onto himself. If you can't see, Jesus took it onto himself. If you're in pain, if you have cancer, Jesus took it onto himself. When he was scourged, when he was whipped and beaten, in his stripes, my friends, we are healed. When you come to the table of the Lord today, my friends, thank God for the gift of physical healing in the point of faith, the focus of faith, in the bread through which you reach by faith and receive the real presence of Jesus' healing power. And then when you drink, receive by faith and touch the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us all, and receive forgiveness. Don't be an enemy of the cross. Don't be an enemy of the cross and focus on the appetites of your own desire. But instead, turn it over to Jesus. Receive forgiveness for sins. Receive the healing touch that Jesus painfully bore to give to you. My friends, don't be an enemy of the cross. Instead, receive that which Jesus died to give to us today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.